our part of power consumption, yours and mine, is really easy. We flick a switch and the light goes on. It takes a lot of work by other people to make it that easy. In California, the electric grid is overseen by the California Independent System Operator. We'll get to the specifics of what that means, but at heart, it's management of California's power in California. Now, state legislators and some other people are thinking about it, potentially moving toward a regional system to oversee the electric grid. The idea has some friends and some enemies. The Union of Concerned Scientists, which is big on renewable energy, has put lots of analysis into the regional grid management proposal, has support for it, and finds it's not a magic bullet, though. Laura Wisland is the senior manager for energy at the Union of Concerned Scientists and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us today. A little background is in order. I was just trying to explain it as you came on. The Independent System Operator in California, what does it do?
Sure. So the Independent System Operator is basically the grid manager for about 80% of the electricity consumed in California. They're basically the ones that keep the lights on, balance electricity supply and demand every 4 seconds.
Okay, 4 seconds. Is that how often it is sampled to make sure that everything is in balance?
Yep.
Wow. How does the ISO or anybody else calculate that match between power supply and demand? I mean, this is not like a business where you can go to the store and, oh, gee, we're out of your product today. Sorry, come back tomorrow.
Well, we're constantly estimating how much power electricity demand is needed, and then we're having electricity supply bid into the market the day ahead, the hour ahead, 15 minutes ahead, 5 minutes ahead. And so we're constantly adjusting how much we need at any given point in time.
All right. And is that made any easier by the advent of things like smart meters and all the other things to help measure electricity a bit more finely?
Well, smart meters give the utilities a much better sense of how much electricity is being demanded by individual households, which gives us a lot more information on what kinds of investments we can make to do better in terms of energy efficiency and shifting electricity demand towards different times of day when, say, renewables are more abundant or electricity prices are cheaper. But I wouldn't say that smart meters help the grid operator do a better job. Actually, a regional market will help the grid operator do a better job because it provides the operator with a lot more tools in the toolbox to balance supply and demand. It gives the grid operator access to a much larger quantity of resources to work with, basically, to keep that balance of supply and demand constantly going.
So I read some of your blogs about this. At the Union of Concerned Scientists, you are officially for the changeover to a regional grid?
Well, so, you know, we're coming from the place that we think that climate change is one of the biggest threats that our country and our world and obviously the state of California and Oregon and the West face today. And one of the most important things that we can do to address climate change in a meaningful way is to provide large quantities of clean, carbon-free electricity for our system to meet our electricity needs, to help reduce emissions in the transportation sector. And the reason why we're supportive of the concept of a regional grid is because we think it's a really important tool to help states move farther and faster to get more renewable energy on the system for lower cost. So we're supportive of the concept for that reason.
Now, obviously, as you just mentioned, renewables, so the changing nature of power generation has a lot to do with the proposal to change the ISO into a regional entity. I mean, how different is the mix of power in recent years?
Well, so, you know, Western states have been doing a great job bringing on lots more quantities of wind power and solar power, and as you know, the generation from those resources is dependent on the weather. So it's what we call variable generation or intermittent generation. And so if we're going to run a grid with large quantities of those resources, which we know we can do, we need to make the grid more flexible and adaptive, which means that we just need more tools. The grid operator needs more tools at its disposal to draw upon another resource when we're losing all our solar generation when the sun goes down, or draw upon a different resource when the wind dies down. So it just means we need to be more flexible.
So the greater tools at your disposal are both on the supply and demand side, it sounds like. I mean, you have more options for where you get the power from, but then also more places to send the power.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, so there's several benefits to a regional market. The first one, like I said before, is, you know, added flexibility. grid operators will just have more access to generation and transmission assets across the West, which means that we don't have to build as many new resources to get the flexibility we need, which is going to be a savings for electricity customers. Another benefit that we see is that, you know, especially in California, we have this solar resource that we're continuing to build out. There are times of the day that, and times and seasons of the year when we actually can't consume all the solar power that we've built. And we don't want to waste it. That's really cost-effective, clean energy, and we want to be able to send it to someone else so that they can use it instead of using a fossil resource. And if we're more interconnected to our Western neighbors, we'll be able to do that.
So by can't consume it, you mean there's just more made than can be consumed, at least within the California Independent System Operator territory?
Well, there's just times of the day when there's more electricity supply on the system than there is demand. And like I said, supply and demand always have to be balanced. So if there's too much supply, your choice is to either send that supply somewhere else or to cut it off and basically turn off that supply. And we're trying to find ways to make use of that clean solar power, not curtail it, not turn it off.
Laura, it seems like this is a subject area that can get really bogged down in acronyms. I noticed that the ISO could become an RTO. Is that what we're talking about moving toward here?
Well, actually, the ISO is already an RTO. So RTO stands for Regional Transmission Operator. And so what we're really talking about is instead of it being the Cal ISO, the California ISO, we're talking about a Western ISO or Western RTO.
And how many states, or is that even determined at this point?
It's not determined. So the first thing that would need to happen is that California would need to change the governance structure of the Cal ISO, because right now the Cal ISO has a board of governors that's appointed by the governor of California and confirmed by the state senate. And so we would need to make a change within our legislation just to make it possible to create a regional ISO. Then work would need to be done to flesh out what the governance structure of this new Western ISO looks like, and then other owners of transmission and generation assets in the West would have the choice about whether to sit down with California entities and talk about joining. Kind of the same way, I don't know if on your program you've talked about the energy imbalance market in the past, but so, you know, California's already done something like this, but on a much smaller scale. The Cal ISO has basically opened up its five-minute electricity market to other regional partners. And we laid the groundwork for that, and then people came to the table and saw the benefit, and more people started to join. So what we're really talking about is taking the concept of the energy imbalance market, which is better coordination and sharing resources in the five-minute energy market, to the day-ahead market where the lion's share of electricity is bought and sold.
So electricity is still bought and sold as a commodity. It has been for a while now, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a market for it, and there are bids, and the market clears at the price where supply meets demand, and that's what all the resources get paid for that hour.
I would venture a guess that this is probably the place where people get most concerned about the idea of converting the Cal ISO into a Western regional grid, because they have memories of what happened in 2000, 2001 when Enron was still very active and all that happened there. Are there safeguards? First of all, is the situation the same? And second of all, are there safeguards that prevent it from happening quite like that again?
It's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. It is not the same situation. So the reason why it's not is because after the energy crisis, which was a situation where California electricity customers, and actually the utilities purchasing electricity on behalf of California customers, did not have enough long-term contracts for electricity supply locked up. So they were really at the mercy of short-term transactions and entities withholding supply. So now, after the energy crisis, California has put something in place called the Resource Adequacy Program, which is basically a program that's run by the California Public Utilities Commission that ensures that every month the utilities have contracted for enough generation resources or demand load-shifting resources to ensure that we have enough electricity supply on the books to keep the lights on.
Okay, so as we move forward toward an idea of a regional grid management system, and it sounds like it's still fairly nebulous. You're not even talking about, we don't have the confirmed number of or names of states involved other than just their western ones. I do notice a couple of bills in the legislature, AB 813. Is that the primary one we're talking about here?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and that has gotten through the House or the Assembly, but not the Senate yet. Is that right?
It has made it through the Assembly and it has made it through two policy committees in the Senate and needs to go through one more before it goes to the floor.
Who are the people who need the most convincing at this point, Laura? Who are the holdouts in thinking that it's a better idea for California to maintain its hold over its grid management?
Well, I mean, there's a variety of stakeholders that are obviously, thinking deeply about this issue that do have some concerns that moving to a Western ISO means California has less control over its system. And, I don't want to say that their concerns aren't valid. I think that anytime we make a big decision like this, we have to be very thoughtful about it. And I think the good news is that we're having that discussion in the legislature. This is the appropriate place to have this discussion. And this is a complicated topic, but if this was an easy solution, it would have been done a long time ago. We think it's a necessary solution. We think that despite the complications of reworking the governance structure of our energy market, climate change is too big of a threat to only reach for the easy solutions. This is a necessary step that we need to take to move farther and faster on renewables, not only just to bring them on the system, but to do it at lower costs so that we can prove to the rest of the country and the rest of the world that managing an electricity grid with high levels of renewable energy is possible and cost-effective.
Laura Wisland, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Senior Manager for Energy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. We're talking about the idea of turning California's independent system operator management of the electric grid into more of a Western regional kind of grid. So I did see concerns about, so this is great in that it would allow renewables that are developing in California to potentially sell power out of state, so it just doesn't go unconsumed. But then what about in the other direction? I mean, if California is able to put solar power off into other Western states, does that mean potentially drawing more power from coal or natural gas into California?
We do not think that it's going to increase the consumption of coal. So I do want to say, actually, one of the other benefits that we see to a Western regional energy market is as we continue to follow through on the policies we've put in place to bring more renewable energy onto the system, it will potentially give us access to a wider geographic area of renewable energy resources. And that's really important because if we only build one type of resource, for example, solar, we're going to have a lot of power in the middle of the day when the sun is shining, and not enough clean energy when the sun goes down. And so we really do need to be building a diverse supply of renewables, more wind power, more geothermal. And we can't do that all in California if we're really serious about getting to very high levels. So on the coal question, California has put in place very effective laws to phase out coal consumption in the state. That said, we still get coal coming into our system through what's called unspecified purchases of power. And the reason why it's unspecified and it's not disclosed is because these are generation assets that are outside the footprint of the Cal ISO that are selling power into the system as spot market purchases. And they're not required to disclose what that generation actually is. And so we think one of the actual benefits of a regional market is that if those generation assets are part of the footprint of an expanded ISO, they're going to have to disclose that the electrons are coming from coal plants, and we'll be able to know that. And we have a cap and trade program that will be able to effectively price the carbon associated with that generation, which is going to raise the price of that electricity, which is going to make it harder for those generation assets to clear in the market because they're going to be more expensive.
And then when you're talking about price, this brings us to probably the main concern for any user of electricity in California is, does this make any difference to my bill?
It makes a huge difference to your bill. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we're doing this, because if we can expand the pool of resources that the grid operators can take advantage of, we have to build, we can make more efficient use of existing resources. We can get rid of some of the redundancy in the system. We don't have to build as many new resources, which means that, and that all translates into costs for electricity customers. So, you know, a couple years ago, there was a study done to put some numbers to the benefits associated with a regional market, and the ISO calculated that in 2030, a regional market could save electricity, California electricity customers, up to $1.5 billion per year in 2030. That's real money that goes back into our economy and helps with job creation.
Given that, do you anticipate this passing, and if so, when?
Well, so we have about 6 more weeks left in the legislature. It concludes at the end of August. I think that, you know, there's still a lot of discussion to be had. Obviously, these details have to be worked out. Bills like this are complicated and get wrapped up into larger discussions about what's happening with our electric